Thank you so much for having me here. What a great honor for a broken-down Anglican to be in Southern Seminary. And I am absolutely thrilled that you celebrate All Saints Day. That's on Reformation Day. Your president is one of the great heroes that I have. In fact, by introducing him last Sunday to our congregation, I said that most of my heroes are either dead or older than me. He's the only hero I have who's younger than me. And so I am absolutely thrilled to consider him friend. Dr. Al Mohler, we prayed for you in our Church of the Apostles, and we rejoice and thank God that he reached down and healed you, because the world needs you, and I'm delighted to be here. In fact, my love and my friendship with Dr. Al Mohler is very strong, to the point that there is nothing in the world I wouldn't do for him, and I know there's nothing in the world he wouldn't do for me. So in the last several years, we've been traveling around the world doing nothing for each other. I know that my time is limited, so I want to share with you what I call the sermon, the greatest sermon that was never preached. The greatest sermon that was never preached. And just in case you think I'm being cute, it is found in the Scripture. And if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Hebrews 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11, 4. It says, "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings." And by faith, he still preaches. Here it is. That's the greatest sermon that was never preached. And by faith, he still preaches, even though he's dead. Even though he's dead, his sermon keeps on being preached. The best sermon that was never preached continue to be preached, even today. Now, most of us preachers, many of us, if blessed with time, preach hundreds and some even thousands of sermons in our lifetime. But I'm not so sure how many people will remember even one of those sermons. I think we'd be blessed to find somebody who remembers one. I am one of those insecure preachers who end up not repeating sermons. A dear friend of mine, a former boss of mine, he used to criticize me for this. He said, "Man, all the great preachers repeated sermons." Well, I have so many insecurities. One of them is that I have to bring a fresh word from the Word every week. And yet the Bible tells us about that one sermon, just one, that was never preached, and yet it continues to be preached. Thousands of years later, it continues to be preached to every generation. It continues to be preached to every nation. It continues to be preached to every situation. But before I get to the sermon that was never preached, let me answer some of the questions that probably some of you might be asking. Why in the world was Abel's sacrifice accepted by God, but not Cain's? And the answer is really a lot simpler than you think. Abel wanted to worship God God's way, but Cain wanted to worship God Cain's way. Abel wanted to serve God God's way, but Cain wanted to serve God Cain's way. Abel trusted in God's plan for his life, but Cain trusted the consultants and the experts. Abel asked God, "God, what is it that you would have me do?" But Cain said, "Let me follow Dr. Smelfungus's idea for church growth." And he did. Abel said, "There's one thing I do." Cain said, "There are a thousand things that I can dabble in." You know, I am so glad that the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews said, "By faith, Abel." I'm so glad. He didn't say, "by feelings," which is the curse of our time today. He didn't say, and there's nothing wrong with feelings, but it's running rampant in our culture. I am so glad he didn't say by fancy, and I'm so glad he didn't say by fantasy. I am so glad he did not say by following a strategic plan, Abel. In fact, we have no evidence that Abel was any more perfect than Cain. In fact, every evidence, at least from the scripture, indicate that both were conceived after sin had entered into the heart of mom and dad, Adam and Eve. Both were born after sin has entered into their hearts. Both were born in sin. Both had the same sin nature, and both had the same inclination towards sin and disobedience. Both were born with the same limitations, and both knew that there is a right way and a wrong way to relate to God. And since faith comes by hearing, obviously what happened? Abel believed the words of his parents, Adam and Eve. Now, let me back up a little bit. You know, one of my many weaknesses that I tend to presume too much. I presume people probably know more than they do. I know I'm in a seminary here, and I'm sure most of you know the story of Adam and Eve. Do you know the story of Adam and Eve? Yeah, I'm sure you do. But I used to presume so much, and I discovered that so many Christians don't even know the Bible. So let me just back up and tell you what you already know about the story of Adam and Eve. Let me tell you that when they were thrown out of the garden, God shed the blood of an innocent lamb in order to cover their sin and the consequences of their sin. And one of the consequences of the sin is that they've discovered that they become aware of their nakedness. And God not only shed the blood of that lamb, but then he gave them the skin for a cover. That was not God's way of showing them how to manufacture expensive mohair or cashmere sweaters. That was God's way of showing them that sin is costly. This is God's way of showing them that an innocent blood had to be shed for the redemption of sin. That without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Above all, he was pointing them further from their time to the time of the death of the most innocent of lambs of all, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He was pointing them beyond that time, that one day, the Son of God, holy, sinless, righteous, blood will be shed in order to redeem that which Adam and Eve have lost in the garden. Adam and Eve learned this important lesson. In fact, they thought that this Redeemer that God was talking about is going to come in their lifetime. Actually, this must be one of their children. That's why when Cain was born, the firstborn, they called him Cain. Means here he is. They thought he's the one. And Adam and Eve looked in horror as God slayed the innocent lamb and shed that blood. They understood that this is the only way to approach a holy God. They understood this is the only way to approach a righteous God. This is the only way that is acceptable in worshiping a holy and righteous God. Adam and Eve did not only learn this lesson, but doubtlessly they passed that lesson unto their children. The boys, no doubt, watched mom and dad worshiping God God's way. They no doubt they watched and they learned and they saw their parents obeying God, God's way, pleasing God, God's way, serving God, God's way. One of the two boys, Abel, said, well, I'm going to follow my parents in obedience. But Cain decided that he wanted to worship God his way. Now, he did not want to buy into this Jesus, the only way to salvation. He just didn't want to. He didn't want to buy into this. I mean, he wanted to be contemporary. he wanted to be, you know, his own man. He wanted to be a universalist. He wanted to be. He wanted to be inclusive. You know, I used to be part of the Episcopal Church many years ago. Before I left, about 16 years ago, And I often tell people I had the experience of experiencing persecution from Muslims growing up. But I tell you, persecution from liberals is even worse. This is inclusive universalist junk that was just rammed down my throat. But I won't get into that. That's a subject of another time. But you know what? I am so glad that I lived long enough to see that what was considered contemporary 30 years ago now is traditional. I'm so glad. You see, there was a time when the Church of Jesus Christ, when the people of God would go to the Lord in prayer for power in ministry, would go to the Lord in prayer for power in their evangelism and for saving of the lost and for effectiveness in ministry and for financial needs. Oh, but now we hire consultants to do that for us, to advise us on these things. Now we copy those whose message is not going to offend anybody. Now we avoid certain parts of the scripture that may be a little bit offensive. And every day, it seems to me at least, we seem to be drifting away further from our moorings. Instead of calling people to the mourner's bench, we now entertain them. Instead of seeking the mind of God, we pass surveys and ask people, what do they want to hear so we can give it to them? It's true that every generation has to face the same challenge that Abel and Cain have faced. Every generation must face the same temptation. Should we worship God God's way or man's way? Should we build our ministries on the clear proclamation of the truth of the Word of God? Or should we get into psychobabble? Should we rely solely on the power of the Holy Spirit in our ministries? Or should we use human manipulation? Should we continue digging out of the deep well of the Word of God? Or should we go the marketing route? We all face the same challenges that Cain and Abel faced. And I haven't got to the sermon yet. I haven't got to the sermon that was never preached. I'm going to get to it. And that's some of you kind of want me to get to the sermon. I'm going to get to it. Just hang in there with me. Can you hang in with me for a few more minutes? Well, you can say amen. It's all right. Is it okay to say amen here? I wasn't sure. In fact, I haven't got to the power of positive thinking yet. So you see, I'm still further. But before I get to that sermon that was never preached, I want to suggest to you that there was nothing wrong with Cain's offering of grains and fruit. There was nothing wrong. In fact, I have a deep hunch. That's my personal kind of Middle Eastern insight into things in the scripture. I have a deep hunch that Cain's sacrifice was more expensive than Abel's. I have a deep hunch that Cain's sacrifice probably was more spectacular than that of Abel's. I think Cain's sacrifice probably was more impressive than that of Abel's. Cain's sacrifice probably was more media grabbing than Abel's. But that's not the issue. You see, that's not the issue. The issue is not who gets the headlines. The issue is not who gives billions of dollars to charity. The issue is not who uses a stadium for a church. The issue is not who can get people to jump higher than others. The issue is not who's going to get people to fall further than others. I remember Evie Hill, one of the great guys of yesteryears, and some of you may even remember Evie Hill. He used to say, well, I don't care how high you can jump, it is how straight you can walk when you land. And the issue is this. One gave God what God wanted, and the other gave God what he wanted to give God. In fact, in the epistle of Jude, verse 11, we read about the way of Cain. And you say, what is that way of Cain? The way of Cain is the way of man. The way of Cain is the way of self-will. It's the way of religious hypocrisy. It's the way of dead rituals. It's the way of showmanship. It's the way of trying to impress people. It is not surprising, therefore, that both Abel and Jesus were killed by religious people. Cain is the kind of preacher that you don't want to be, that you never want to be, and you pray to God that you'll never be. He was the kind of preacher who wanted to please people all the time. He was the kind of preacher that he wanted to be liked all the time. He was the kind of preacher who wanted to be acceptable by the media establishment. He was the kind of preacher who wanted to be praised by everybody. He was the kind of preacher who wanted to be non-condemning and non-judgmental. I'll define that to you next time I come. He wanted to be admired by society and the world. After all, he went out and built a city. I think Cain was the first who fought hard to save the environment, don't you? He was an environmentalist. I mean, and I'm nothing against environmentalists. Listen, I've been an environmentalist before it was fashionable. I mean, I'm a tightwad. I have 5 different ways of using a piece of paper before I throw it away. So I've been an environmentalist before there were such people. And I think he was the kind of man who defended animals' rights. You say, how do you know that? He refused to offer a sacrifice of a lamb. Cain was the kind of guy who would have written a book of how to look good and feel good. He would be the kind of guy who would have written the book, Your Best Life Is Now. And you figure that one out. I'm sorry, I haven't got the Abel sermon yet, but I will get to it. I promise you, I won't get to it. But listen to me. Abel was the kind of guy who said, I don't know what makes CNN happy, but I want to make God happy. And God looked down from heaven and said, Abel is my man. And he wanted to preserve this unpreached sermon for all of eternity in the scripture. And he says, I want to preserve this example of his faithful obedience. I want to save it for thousands of years and for many generations to come. Although Abel was cut down by his envious brother in the prime of his life, but his sermon keeps on being preached. Although he didn't have any children to carry on his name, but his sermon keeps on being preached. Although he did not have a monument to preserve his memory, but his sermon keeps on being preached. Although he did not have a museum that people can go and visit, but his sermon keeps on being preached. Although he did not have a library for people to come into and read about him, but his sermon keeps on being preached. Although he did not have a legacy for people to remember him by, but his sermon keeps on being preached. Although he did not have a fortune for his children to spend, but his sermon keeps on being preached. Although he did not have an institution that would carry his name, although he did not have leave any books to be that were written, but his sermon keeps on being preached even today in this wonderful chapel. Oh, but God said, I'm going to ensure that every generation and every nation and for all time, this unpreached sermon kept them being preached. My goodness, I'm almost at the end of my time, and I haven't got to the sermon yet. I'm sorry. I tell you what, I'll just give you the outline, and then you can build the body of the sermon. You can develop the body yourself. How about that? And you'd be pleased to know that I knew that I'm going to be in a Baptist seminary chapel, so I got you 3 points in a poem. I'm not sure about the poem, but I got 3 points. You know, one of my contemporaries once asked a seminary professor, he said, how many points a sermon should have? He said, at least one. Well, here are the 3 points of Abel's sermon. You can write it down. That man can only come to God by faith and not by works. That man, secondly, that man must accept God's revelation and not his own wisdom for salvation. And thirdly, that obedience will be rewarded and rebellion will be judged. Take Abel's outline, preach your own sermon, for this is the only sermon that will endure for all of time and eternity. God bless you.